Exactly 9 minutes past eight on a Tuesday morning. Good morning. Wherever you are across the great waterfront city of Portsmouth, I hope you're going to have a fantastic day. Whatever your plans are, I promise you we are getting back to some sort of normality. My guest this morning, I've had the pleasure of speaking to in the past, but I would like to welcome to Express FM this morning the CEO of Portsmouth in the Community, the lovely Claire Martin, MBE. Claire, good morning. Welcome to Express FM.
Good morning, Ian.
Now, we haven't spoken certainly for a good few months, but can I first of all say congratulations on being awarded the MBE back in the summer?
Thank you. Yeah, it only seems like yesterday. I'll tell you, this year is just flying past, isn't it?
I know, I can't believe we're almost, you know, getting towards October and you're going out and about now and you're seeing Christmas decorations, etc. in shops. That's when you know that the year is beginning to fly. Let's go back to the summer. I mean, that was indeed a great honour to be given an MBE. I mean, that was probably, without doubt, the highlight of not just your the year, possibly your life, Claire.
Do you know what? It's difficult one, because an MBE is because of the work you do, and the work I do is the work the charity does. So it's kind of much harder to think, oh, an MBE, because that's for me. I mean, you know, we as a charity were awarded the Freedom of the City the month before. And that's a much easier thing to celebrate, because that's about the whole charity and everybody who's pulled together over the years. So the MBE is amazing. But I just always, you know, sort of go back to the fact that, you know, yeah, I'm sort of the figurehead, but I won it on behalf of the charity and Pompey and the community and, you know, all the people that have contributed over, well, the 20 years that I've been there.
I mean, there is a lot of people working so hard behind the scenes, especially in Pompey in the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's not just the staff, the volunteers. We've got an incredible band of volunteers. So, you know, and the fans. The fans are behind us. And, you know, it's a very special place to work.
Now, yesterday we witnessed one of the biggest events ever in the history, certainly of our country, and 4 billion people tuned in to watch the funeral of Queen Elizabeth II. You were fortunate enough to get an invitation. I mean, how did you receive the invitation, Claire?
Well, a friend of mine has a little villa in Spain. So last weekend we were out soaking up the little bit of the last sunshine, and I got a voicemail. So we were all sat by the pool, and I had a voicemail from the Cabinet Office saying, you know, could you give us a ring? We'd like to invite you to Her Majesty's funeral. So obviously I said to the girls, they said, what's up? My face must have dropped. And so I said, I've been invited to the funeral. And of course they're like, right, okay, how, you know. So I put my phone on speaker and we all called back and listened. And yeah, it's been a bit of a whirlwind ever since. We had to keep it quiet. We were asked not to say too much until yesterday, which, to be honest, I found so much harder than keeping the MBE quiet. And that's why I hesitated when you said whether the MBE was the greatest honour, because I actually feel that invitation yesterday almost topped it, because it was so unique and such a global event and such a privilege that, it's been quite a year.
So so I've got this in my mind's eye. You were sat around a pool soaking up some sun and you suddenly get a phone call from the Cabinet Office. I mean, that is surreal, isn't it?
Well, it was, because we'd obviously, although we were out there, you know, we were in the departure lounge when we heard the sad news and sort of watched as people found out across the departure lounge. One of the girls there, her husband, played in the Royal Marines band, and so she's been very involved with the whole sort of practices in the past, because obviously they've been going through the rehearsals for years and years. So we spent a lot of time watching on the television out there, and we felt quite removed from it all, really, although, you know, we could pick up the BBC over there. To get that phone call and then be sort of thrust right back into the middle of it was quite surreal, but what an honour.
Can we sort of discuss, what was the day like yesterday for you? Because you must have had an early start.
I stayed with a friend, because all we were hearing was about the trains. So I stayed with a friend who lives up that way. So my train journey was a lot shorter. So I got the 5:45 train Got to Waterloo at 7 o'clock, 7:15. I was having a cup of coffee at Waterloo. Walked across Westminster Bridge, which obviously then was shut the other side. So we had all the security to go through. And by about 8:10, I was sitting in the Abbey. But bizarrely, I got shown to the front row. So at the West Gate, where everybody came in and everybody left, we were sat just to the left of the grave of the unnamed soldier, and the whole procession was played out right in front of us, in touching distance, because where the grave was, the procession had to split and go either side of the grave, and the Queen's coffin came our side. To have the leaders of the world sort of within a metre of you, and the royal family, to see, I can't really process it all. I got home last night, and I kept it together during the ceremony, just about. And then driving home, the news came on, and that was it. The floodgates opened, and then I got home, and there was almost like a welcome committee in the road, because I hadn't been able to tell the neighbours. So they saw me arrive and came out and said, "Was that you? Was that really you?" And that was it. I just burst into tears again. It was just such an emotional thing to be part of, and it felt a real privilege, because at the bottom of it all, it's a family funeral, isn't it? And you're almost encroaching on that family's grief, and it did feel like that, seeing their faces close up. But yeah, I just felt so privileged to be representing Pompey and the community and the people of Portsmouth there yesterday.
It's so difficult, because at the end of the day, it is, of course, the Queen, and at the end of the day, she's also a mother. And she's also part of a family. So it is very, very tough. And you could see the look on the faces of the royal family. It's been a tough 10 days.
I think it's the emotion, and just seeing and feeling that outpouring of not only love, but respect. I mean, to be in Fratton Park on Saturday with that complete silence, that ultimate sort of sign of respect. I mean, there's nothing like a minute silence when it's completely silent. And then, singing. I can't remember singing the national anthem at Fratton Park previously. And that was so, so special. So, yeah, I mean, in the Abbey itself, I love a good song. And to sing and then have that choir reverberating around. I just watched it again all last night just to feel that tingle. Because obviously, when you're there, you see parts of it, but you don't see the whole thing the way it's shown on the television. So to see everything else that was sort of going alongside was, yeah, amazing.
Listen, Claire, thank you so much for joining me this morning. We must catch up again at some point in the future, because it'd be great to find out what obviously Pompey and the community have got planned for the rest of this year. I'm sure you're working on bits and pieces as we speak.
Bigger than yes, we've got a big build going on where... we're building the John Jenkins Stadium. So I'd love to catch you up to speed on that.
Well, we'll do. We'll get another date in the diary, and we'll catch up again very, very soon. Claire, thank you so much for joining me on air this morning. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye.